Paragalf Hilchos Deis, when the Rambam is talking about the mitzvah of Halachta V'drachav, which requires that a person cultivate character traits such as Rachum, Rachanun, Erech Apayim, etc. So the Rambam then gives us the following guidance, the following directive. How does a person habituate himself to these character traits until they become implanted within him, until he internalizes them? How does he reach that point? Yasa v'yishna v'yishalesh b'masim sha'os al pi ha'deos ha'mtzoyos v'yachsu v'hen tomit. So let's say, for instance, I look in the mirror and looking back at me, I see someone who's stingy. And I realize that I have to cultivate the character trait of generosity. So how do I do it? So the Rambam says, it doesn't come at this point because I'm stingy. It doesn't come naturally to me to give tzedakah. So I have to force myself. I'm going to have to push myself. And push myself. But the Rambam says, the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu designed the human personality is that if a person time and time again will act charitably, he'll become a charitable person. Even though when I'm initially doing it, it doesn't come naturally. I'm not a charitable person. I'm not a generous person. But I force myself. It kills me. But I do it anyway. I write the check for tzedakah. And I do it a second time. And I do it a third time. And I do it again and again. So ultimately, that transforms me. And I'm no longer a stingy person who has to force himself to act charitably, I become a charitable person. Right? Kate said, Yagil, Oda Matsumu Deus El Achi Kovubo, Yasa Vishna Vishalish Bimasim Shaosal Piadeus Emturus Vyaksam and Tomid. Now listen to this next line of Osai. This is going to be the point of departure, and it's Hashemli Nedu for our conversation. Achi Yiyu Masehem Kalim Olav. Ultimately, the Rambam says, the person will reach a point where it's not difficult for him. It's not onerous for him. It's not killing him to give the tzedakah. On the contrary, it comes easily and comes naturally. And it doesn't, it no longer represents something that requires an exertion. It no longer represents something that to a degree is experienced as a burden. Clearly, the implication is that initially, that is how we experience it. Initially, when we set out to improve ourselves by changing ourselves, so the transitional period is something that involves difficulty. It's not easy. Ultimately, it becomes easy and natural. But the transition period, the way a person works his way up to that level, it does involve effort. It does involve coping with and dealing with and not being deterred by difficulty and adversity. When you reflect on this, as much as we spoiled by Western ideals of comfort and leisure and indulgence, as much as we don't like this and don't like to hear it, it's very intuitive. Anyone here planning on becoming a doctor, say, for instance? Anyone on such a track? Anyone know someone such? So what's the track?
College, where you're in medical school.
Here. College, you'll major in sociology?
I don't know yet. Something, but, science.
Pre-med, you're going to take all the pre-med classes? Yeah. Chemistry, bio, okay. Physics, organic chemistry, okay, yeah. And then?
4 years in medical school. 2 years of residency.
So you work 9 to 5 and then you close the books?
No.
No.
All day.
All day. And then?
2 years of residency.
Residency. And the hours of residency are?
I think all day also. I don't remember.
All day.
Figure that out.
7 in the morning till 7 at night? Or 7 at night till 7 in the morning? So what's your plan? Yeah, what do you have to work so hard for? Like, why is that the track? Why are they torturing? Why are they torturing all would be physicians?
I want the guys that really want to do it for the right reasons. They want to weed out the people that want to do it for. That's
one answer, and a second answer. That's correct. What's the second answer?
The whole point of being a doctor is that you help people, so
yes,
you give up a lot of your time.
That's also true. Third answer.
Be good at it.
If something is a substantive discipline, there's no such thing as I'll read a textbook for a few hours. I'll Google heart attacks, and then I'll open up a practice as a cardiologist. If something is a real substantive discipline, if a person is looking for a real substantive accomplishment, such as becoming a doctor, it's intuitive to us that you have to work hard. If you go to a doctor and the doctor tells you that in college and in medical school, he spent more time on the golf course than he did cracking the books, but get out of there as fast as you can and find a different doctor. So it's intuitive that any real accomplishment in life, and we know this in every other context, that any real accomplishment in life comes with hard work, and usually at some point one element of hard work means overcoming difficulty, overcoming adversity. So it's intuitive that why should religious attainment, religious accomplishment, why should spiritual goals that are not less significant, they're not less real, so why should they be less demanding than what we're familiar with from our daily mundane experience? That's sort of the natural perspective. And again, what this Rambam says is, Yotzam en akal olam en al akal kulo. It's not only in the area of Tikkun HaMidos that a person has to initially deal with difficulty as part of his hard work. It's in developing the zitzflesh, the patience to sit and to learn and to try to develop oneself in learning. It's in trying to work on one's focus and concentration during tefillah. None of it comes easily, because if it came easily, it wouldn't be real. The same way, a doctor who opens up a practice and didn't work hard and it came easily, so his expertise isn't real, his competence isn't going to be real. That's the natural perspective. The religious, the metaphysical perspective is the following. That there is a Yerushalmi in Orla that the Svarim quote. But where the Yerushalmi has a phrase Nahama de Kisufa. So Nahama in Aramaic is bread, and Kisufa is shame. Nahama de Kisufa, bread of shame. And what the Yerushalmi says, which is much quoted and much discussed in Svarim, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have just created us and put us on an express train to Olam Haba. He could have done that. But then, what we would have experienced there was Nahama de Kisufa. Again, literally, bread of shame. Because if a person doesn't do anything to earn it, so then he feels the same shame, Rahmanul Itzlan, that a person has to go begging and asking for something feels. It's a humiliating thing to ask, to beg, to not be able to be self-supporting, not to be able to be independent, is a source of shame. HaKadosh Baruch Hu designed the world that when he bestows the schar, there shouldn't be this element of Nahama de Kisufa. So the whole point of Olam Hazah is not to coast. The whole point of Olam Hazah is to avoid the Olam Haba being Nahama de Kisufa. So by definition, Olam Hazah means it has to be challenging. It means that a person encounters and overcomes formidable challenges and formidable difficulties. This reality was always, I would imagine, was always a challenge, was always a nisayon. It's certainly a bigger challenge and a bigger nisayon for us living in the world in which we do, that idolizes leisure and comfort and indulgence, because it's mamish the antithesis of that Western worldview. Baruch Hashem, through your, I'm not sure how many of you are holding by Shana Aleph, some by Shana Bet, but whether we're talking about 7, 8 months, or 17, 18 months, so Baruch Hashem, there have been, and the Yitzhak Hashem will continue to be, real accomplishments, real attainments because of hard work. So how does a person hold on to it? How does a person sort of consolidate and cement those accomplishments that they don't gradually evaporate, Rachman al Islam? Especially when a person will be outside the walls of the yeshiva, without that support system that the yeshiva provides. So it's crucial, really, really crucial, that while you're here, you need to identify, both by looking back as well as looking forward, what challenges await you. A lot of them, so I think you know about from by looking back from previous life experience. the challenges of technology have not diminished while you've been here in yeshiva, the objective challenges. And others as well. So knowing what the challenges are, so a person has to have in place a strategy for how he's going to deal with them. But there is a profound vort of the Shem Yishmuel, the Soch Tshuva Rebbe, that it's worth coming back to again and again. He comments on the Maimon Chazal in Parshas Naso. So the Parsha of Nozir comes on the heels of the Parsha of Sota. Sota, the adulteress, Rachman Litzlan. So Chazal comment that the Torah is hinting at that heroes sota bikilkula, a person who sees what happens to the sota because assuming in a typological sense due to intoxication, so she lost all her healthy inhibitions and became guilty of adultery. So Harawa Sota Bilkakula, a person, if he sees the degradation of the Sota, he sees what happens to her when she drinks the Mayim HaMa'orim, the horrible consequences, so Yazir Atzma Min HaYayin. He should take a neder, not to drink wine, not to get intoxicated. So the Shem Yishmael says, no, what's pshat? He says, a person who's had that experience, so he'll have that memory to guide him and keep him on the straight and narrow. He doesn't need the Neder Naziris. Maybe the rest of us need that Neder Naziris. He doesn't need that. Why does he need that Neder Naziris? So the Shem Yishmael says something profound. Listen to this, Rabbi Elsayn. Listen, it's wisdom for life from the Socha Tshuva Rebbe. He says, no matter how powerful an experience a person has, in the case of the Gemara, it's a person who witnesses the Sota B'Kukula. In our lives, it may be the time that you spend in Eretz Yisrael. No matter how powerful an experience a person has, no matter how much clarity he attains at that point, memories and experiences recede. And gradually, they become less and less powerful, less and less gripping, until ultimately they wear off entirely. Unless, while the person is still in the midst of that experience, he consolidates it by making kabbalas, by making kabbalas as to what he's going to do, what he's going to incorporate into his schedule to reflect and preserve that clarity and those accomplishments. So while you're here, and you have a sense for the chashivos of Talmud Torah, the mesikus, the sweetness of Torah, a person has to think realistically about his commitment to kviyas itim at all stages of life. While you're here, and you have a sense of proportion and perspective on the place within a person's life that work should hold, a person has to, again, consolidate that by identifying a career path for himself that will allow him to live with a proper dignity, not necessarily the gratuitous indulgence, but the proper dignity, and have the time to focus on what we're really here for in life. So before you leave, whether it's for Ben Azmanin, well, Achas Kama V'Kama, if it's after your entire stay in yeshiva, you have to leave with a blueprint, and on that blueprint are a series of Bli Neder Kabbalas, resolutions you have for how you're gonna consolidate all the gains and all the progress you've made. If a person does that, so then he holds on to it. In the Maimon Chazal that the Shem Yishmol talks about, when the person has this clarity, he takes the Neder Nezirus, so then that lets him hold on to that clarity that he achieved. So we don't take Nedarim, it's not a good idea. But Bli Neder Kabbalas, our analog to that, again, how I'm going to realistically consolidate this. What am I doing? Given the chashivas and mesikas haTorah that I've experienced, okay, what's my Kabbalah to hold on to that? What am I incorporating into my schedule to make sure I hold on to that? And that applies in every area of religious life.
Questions were already sent.